Welcome back to Dr. Brass Tacks, 434-1780. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Happy New Year.
Right, good morning. Hey.
How are you?
Good. I'm good. How are you doing? Ma'am, not man. Good, ma'am. How are you?
How is mommy?
She's good.
How is she doing?
She's doing very well, yeah.
Peter, I got a problem that worrying me. There's three problems that bother me. They got ready to talk because they didn't really want to call in this morning, but they can't beat you in that chair, but they can't beat Dennis. No, that other fella.
You can't beat me neither.
Well, you better get what I tell you. I call it the ready for you to come. I tell you the ready for you. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I went to the Treasury Building on Monday. Mm-hmm. And within going there, I stopped. My head like it turned because the money that I get in, they can't see it. And I went in the Treasury Building. There's a man there by the fountain waking up a lot of stuff and put it in that fountain there. I called three taxi men and I showed them. I said, no, look, we talking about the bed is dirty. Look at here, look. I asked, yo, you know what you're doing? The man just look at me, look, off, saying, down the road and bend some more. Because when they come out the Treasury Building, I show the security guard and I show the taxi man. And there was a BDF man. Mm-hmm. And I called him and showed, you know, he tell me, well, I need the police.
So what he ain't a police?
He ain't a police.
No, but he ain't got police powers.
But he ain't got to be a police. He ain't government clothes.
He so can't get involved in that.
Oh, he can't get involved.
He can't get involved in that himself.
But Peter, he's filling up that with enough stuff and it looks bad. Mm-hmm. My first thing they're going to say is the taxi man. Anyhow, let me left that there because I ain't calling the police for them because I ain't doing the dirty work. And next thing I want to ask you, Peter, how come it is that you pay national insurance, you pay the private insurance, you paying everybody, and then when you hear the show, the money ain't going at the month that it should go at, it going after, and then the interest goes all on your money, because when you get your private insurance level, you know there's an interest here. I mean, if it's to go monthly, it should go where it should go. Mm-hmm. I ain't had to worry how to pay the interest on a private thing. It is nonsense, because if them they're doing their work, they would know that. Well, I hear the one minister saying this morning about the NIS and this thing and people owing. Now, she's sitting down in a chair. She got people working for she. Why should I check to see who ain't paying and come down high that people could get the money? I would like more money for my money. That's the truth. Because when I get my pension, I'm doing me none. Peter, ain't doing me none. Because if I go into the store, I buy two items and I'm buying the meat. What the money going already?
It's rough.
If it's rough,
but I think though that the idea of you're not buying meat is not a bad thing.
Because you don't eat them?
Right.
Why not do whatever you don't eat meat? You might be a vegetarian. I need a nut.
But I would say that that's the only good thing that has come out of this period of austerity, that Chris has made more vegetarians.
Oh, yeah. Peter, you get it.
That's the only salvation. I would like you to put a tax on pork.
On pork?
On sauce, Peter, more specifically.
If you're eating pork and you're getting pork, all is pork.
Well, sauce then.
You very dangerous. You can't put me in that.
Let me say sauce, let me support.
And next thing, Peter, that I want to talk about. Yeah. What are sports and sports stories? These school children, people coming down hype on these children. Yes, they may have got some devious children. Yes, they may have got some going before the court all the time. But they got the empire there shut up. They got the national insurance shut up. They got lynching shut up. Why not build, they got the prison closed. I don't think that it's got court up there. Why not build something and put these children in there and put some of the same BDS men with them? Let the work come from the school and give them and get them off the road. Because everybody's saying they got good children. I can't swear for my children, no. Because I home and my children out. I can't swear that my children ain't walking through town.
It's a complex issue, though, ma'am. I don't know if it's as easy as building an institution and putting anyone in it. Because I think the first thing that we have to do is we have to understand the issues that are precedent, the issues that create this kind of culture in Barbados.
You know what it creates? Peter, you selling your children. Your children bring their money to you. When your children get to school, they're so tired, they're going to sleep. You can't wake them up. Could they? But they're there before the gun, before the court, all the time, all up at doors. You know, say overcrowded. That's why you can't get no more money, Peter. And you know that.
All right, ma'am.
You have a good morning.
All right, ma'am. Thanks a lot. Before I go on, I wanted to deal with something. I saw a post And unfortunately, I'm not fortunate enough to be on the Facebook page for Lynette Eastman any longer. But there is a post in which she posted recently. This is the head of the UPP, and she said that I was sent by the Barber Labour Party along with Elizabeth Thompson to attack the UPP. And she made a reference to this again. Someone also sent me a post that she made a few weeks ago in which she said that I said disparaging things about the UPP at the behest of the Barbados Labour Party. I think that Lynette Eastman is telling untruths when she speaks of me in that way. I have made it clear that when I make pronouncements on Facebook and as an analyst, I am not doing so at the behest of any political party. And the reason that I think that she is being disingenuous is the fact that the very first occasion that Lynette Eastman appeared on the radio in a conversation about the public opinion poll, it would have been at my invitation, because I felt that as a leader of one of those political organizations, she should have the opportunity to put her position along with others. And she has spoken to me on the radio or on Facebook, and she had the opportunity. Leader of Solutions Barbados can also agree to the fact that I have extended similar courtesies within the capacity that I have as a panel talk show host to do so. What I have not done regarding the UPP and Solutions Barbados to say that I think that they have a ghost of a chance of winning. And then I have given my own analysis and my own take as an analyst about the danger that they were proposed, or the likelihood that they may be part of a strategy to keep the Democratic Labour Party in office. I'm only telling the truth. And the fact of the matter is, if Lynette Eastman could come and say to me that she has evidence based on a contract she's seen, or she knows what money I was paid, to go and say what she considers to be negative things about her, then we can have a conversation, but she needs to either put up or shut up, right? I think that the UPP, Solutions Barbados, none of them will be in Parliament. Lynette Eastman never won a seat when she was in the Barbados Labour Party, and I don't believe she will win a seat as the UPP. I believe that a lot of these political organizations, as much as I think they have the right to be there, they are political nuisances when it comes down to it, because they're not gaining traction. The polls show that they do not gain traction. And I have continued to argue. A lot of people in the media don't agree with me. But a part of the problem we have now is that any political organization can come and say, I form a party, and that person is entitled to airplay. That person is entitled to space in the radio. People take them on and so on. Lynette Eastman has a level of legitimacy now that she's never had before. And my question is, on what basis? If we are going to say that every political party has the right to space and time and whatnot, then we have to take on the PDC, we have to take on Kingdom of God and all of these political organizations. The question is, where do we stop? So I have no issue or gripe with the UPP or with Lynette Eastman. I think they all have the right to do what they're doing. But what I have is concerns that these organizations have not demonstrated any level of resonance with the public. That as an analyst, I understand that none of them are going to go anywhere, or they're not going to be part of a conversation. And the only good that they can do is to keep the Democratic Labour Party in power. If it is that you want the DLP to remain in power, then they're serving a useful purpose. But I can say, based on public opinion that I have been hearing and seeing, I do not get the impression that the majority of Barbadians want to see Prime Minister Francis Stewart continue as Prime Minister. And they will see anyone who encourages and promotes that exercise as somebody who's standing in the way of what they would like to see happen. This is my view and opinion as an analyst. No, she can disagree with that. But I have a problem with her taking to the airwaves and suggesting that I am being paid to carry views and opinions which are inconsistent with the truth. And I really would like her to stop it, focus on building your organization, and leave Peter Wickham out of it. Because I don't have anything for or against you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Morning, sir. How are you?
Yeah, fine. Good distractions, man. Yeah. She that have not only never won a seat, she had not even won a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
People were asked to remove themselves that she becomes a candidate. And most of those in the first runoff, there were two others besides her. And they were asked, the two gentlemen were asked to step aside. And the second occasion, someone was asked to step aside again. And then the last time that I saw anything, Roger Smith he had an issue with things, so she just slipped in there. She never won a nomination. She never won a nomination. So, you know, just flyweights and a lot of distraction. I don't understand.
She's a flyweight?
Yes, she is a flyweight. Political flyweight.
Which is heavier, a bantamweight or a flyweight?
I think the flyweight, you know. Hold
on a second. Somebody is saying to me now that I will see if the UPP has a voice in Parliament next week. Right. Now, my question is that if it is that Ms. Agard, Dr. Agard, has crossed to the UPP, and I said that on the radio last time.
Right, you did.
If she declares that to the Speaker, that she is the sitting member of Parliament representing the UPP, I think then we can have a conversation about legitimacy, because she's entitled to a share of the money that all of the other political parties get. So the Speaker will have to try and find some way to accommodate the UPP in that share of the money. I would support that. And then I think that then there's also a legitimate question about us having three parties represented in Parliament, and that the leader of the parliamentary leader of the parliamentary minority in Parliament, who would be Dr. Maria Agard, then she'd be representing the UPP and all of these programs. So then maybe then they will make for a different kind of conversation, and I certainly would support that. So if it is that next week in Parliament, Dr. Agard declares herself as a supporter and a member of the UPP, as she is now the minority leader of the opposition, I would say congratulations to her, and then the conversation changes. But until then, you know, and then certainly Lynette Eastwood will have other questions to answer. Is she going to give way to Dr. Agard to lead the organization?
Yes, but you see, I remember the sad day when she was in the studio, the Sunday, when I asked her the question, like, she and the same Ben, count these guys that were critical of Miss Molly, saying Miss Molly is a despot, etc., etc. Miss Molly never set herself up as the leader of the Barbados Labour Party. These guys set themselves up. Mm-hmm. She set up herself as a leader. And there's something here that I noticed, right? Now, even like the last quarterly report from the central bank, you didn't even hear Miss Molly. Miss Molly had others to come to the station, to the radio, and discuss it. She's always represented the UPP, like there's no one other, no one else. Right. So these are the same people accusing Miss Molly as being a death. You know, I will hope the people in Barbados will pay less attention to these distractions from the DLP and those. Because as you notice, all of those parties are in collusion with the DLP, you know. They're not criticizing the government who destroyed this country. They're trying to look at a BLP. For the last 10 years, the BLP have done what they were supposed to do. Right? As the opposition party, or opposition
I support you in that, sir. I support you in that. I would like every leader of every political party to have a frank conversation with me about how they feel about Friendos Church leadership. That's why I want... Don't worry with Mia Motley, because Mia Motley never led a country in her life.
Right.
And maybe she might in the future, but she has not. Let's have a frank conversation and assessment about the leadership that we have had over the last 8 years. That's the conversation that I need to have with Lynette Eastman. So don't worry about Peter Wickham or who's saying her to send me to cuss her. Worry about the leadership that we're having of this country and the focus that she needs to have as a leader of a party. But they will not do that, because they do not want to distance themselves from the Democratic Labour Party, because they understand that ultimately the DLP is, for all intents and purposes, in bed with them.
Of course. And they are. No, there's this guy. He's the leader of the party, too. He sells stuff in Swan's Three, right? Several times.
The PDC guy?
The Rasta guy. Huh?
He was a vendor.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Now,
he sells in Swan Street?
Fruits and that sort of thing.
Oh, he sells fruits. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You sure it's only fruit?
Well, he's obviously selling fruits. I know what else. But okay. I remember I actually got a plan from him. Because every time I passed by him, I said to myself, he's criticizing Molly. I tell him, Molly should never become leader of the thing.
But
he actually gave me a flyer.
But he said the other day that he is willing to form an alliance with the DLP to keep the BLP out of office. He said it.
I told you I have a flyer. I wanted the flag. I wanted to see what was on it, right?
When we had the conversation in the radio station today, when I said, look, it comes down to two people.
Either
Frandell Stewart or Mia Motley will be prime minister after the next election. Which would you choose? Everyone in the studio said Mia Motley, except Lynette Eastman.
Yes.
Okay, Democratic Labour Party wasn't here, right?
Yeah.
And the DLP rep refused to answer the question. Lynette Eastman said, Owen Arthur is the option.
No, I can remember.
And he's not on the ballot paper?
I remember saying to him several times, I can remember honestly, he's skipping through traffic at Walmart protest, but talking with me. I said, you're so ridiculous. What Mia has to do with, but this country is on its last legs, my man. Why are you not criticizing the prime minister?
But I would like to know what so what's his problem with Mia Motley?
No, but not only his, all of them. He talking about the whole.
But all of them is three people?
I mean.
Oh, you mean like all of them, yeah. But we know the UPPs, yeah.
The UPPs and the Vendor Talent and the
hell have no fury like a woman's scar. It was Prime Minister that said that.
Actually, I was going to really, my call today was to deal with her and her leadership and her skills. But I really can't even deal with this now because it took up a bit of the time. But, you know, this lady, even he said on Arthur, so on, I would say years ago, she's the best politician in Barbados. George Payne said in the 2015 budget reply that he said something similar. Plastic bag said she's a brilliant young lady. You know, this woman got a track record like none other.
But sir, you would fall into the same trap. That's not the conversation that we need to have. The conversation is about an assessment of the current leadership.
No, but listen, that is a waste of time.
I have been trying to engage that conversation, sir, for the last 8 years. To the point where I get abused because they said that I'm a one-trick pony.
You mean about the prime minister?
Right. They said that that's the only thing I want to talk about. But as far as I'm concerned, that's the issue we got to talk about. Because that is what, to me, has landed us in the situation that we are in today.
Of course.
So you heard the Caribbean Development Bank, and I know you're a man that knows these things. What did the CDB have to say in relation to Barbados as compared to countries that have suffered natural disasters?
The hurricane disaster. This is supposed to be projected to be lowest, I think, this year. And if you've just had hurricanes that hit Dominica and these guys, and even in Trinidad and Tobago.
We had a hurricane too?
Yes.
We had a hurricane.
A man-made one, though. Mm. Not one from the thing. Hurricane, who's DLP?
Sir, we're gonna have to run. Sorry to cut you off, but we're gonna have to run. We gotta take a break. We come right back. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. I have an email here, and apparently I have a call from a Dem who wants to put me right regarding the Prime Minister. So this lady is saying, Peter, I'm a born Barbadian, live all over the world. I'm so disappointed with this program. Why are you so biased? We have to be careful of what we are doing and saying, because at the end of the day, we Bajans are all suffering, and we do have to realize that there is a God. And we as people are destroying our country because all we do is jump up for politicians, and we need to be careful because what goes wrong comes wrong. And you, Mr. Handsome, I thank you, ma'am, but stop calling all of your biased Barbados Labour Party supporters to take up the program where nobody else can get on. Also tell the tax man to put a sock in it. We're sick and tired of him. Doesn't he have cleaning to do in his own house and stop cleaning the country? I hope you read this. So, ma'am, I've read it, and what can I say? I don't call nobody, but apparently there's a Dem calling me now, so I want to hear from him and say good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning, sir. Yeah, I understand you're calling on a cell phone, so.
Right.
So, you go ahead.
You say I'm a Dem. I would say a Dem sympathizer, because I'm not a member of the party.
Is that a problem?
Okay.
But most Dems are not members of the party?
Okay.
Most bees are either.
But no, let me just say I support the democratic philosophy, the Dem philosophy.
And what philosophy is that, sir?
An attempt to spread the economic pie among the masses. Unlike the bees, who tends to give it to the private sector.
So
I hope that it trickles down to the rest.
So you're suggesting to me that the masses in Barbados are better off now than they were 10 years ago?
I am saying to you.
No, I'm just asking that question because if you're saying that the philosophy is that you spread the joy around, you think that the masses are more joyous now than they were 10 years ago. Is that what you're suggesting?
I don't want you putting words in my mouth.
I'm not putting words in your mouth. If you're saying the philosophy is based on the fact that they spread the joy around, are the masses of Barbadians more joyous than they were 10 years ago?
Peter Vickham, let me tell you what I think. You want to hear about...
I can't understand. I will let you to ask the question. Because if you are defending the philosophy of the Democratic Labour Party, the philosophy of the Democratic Labour Party is that they spread the joy around, are you saying that the masses of Barbadians are better off now than they were 10 years ago? Because I have polled data that suggests differently.
I don't have any statistics information to tell you.
But do you get the sense that people are better off than they were 10 years ago, the masses?
Let me just say yes. But then
you get a sense that the masses are better off than they were 10 years ago. Fair enough.
I come to tell you, okay, good.
Sorry. So if that's what your position is.
Mr. Wickham, mm-hmm. that you continue to spout all kinds of anti-government rhetoric, the anti-short rhetoric, and a lot of facetious comments and all that kind of stuff. Now, I want to tell you that I find that Prime Minister Stewart, I call him General Stewart at times, is a very solid man. He's been a solid Prime Minister for this country. He hasn't been spectacular. But he has been strong. He has kept. There are a lot of fires that were
kept the ship afloat.
That were lit while this government has been in office, and somehow General Stewart has been able to put out the fires, calm them down. They're not necessarily eliminated completely, but he's been able to calm down the situation and allow this country to continue to flow. We have got unions in this country that want to plan to upset this normal running of Barbados, normal how we operate. They see the private sector, they do all kind of ignorance, and you also have the state opposition who had several no confidence motions and protests, all kind of stuff to disrupt a solid government. Not that things are perfect in the country. Not that things are perfect in this country, Mr. Wickham. But you know, the Democratic Labour Party has been trying to play deal with the hand that they've been dealt. You know, they've been dealt a very difficult hand from 2008, somewhere towards 2008, from the time they took office. And I understand it's not, you want to say that everything that happens in this country is the Dems, that they're responsible for it. So I have said to you that they have been dealt a very difficult hand from the last government. All the borrowings that were done and that were not necessarily investment borrowings, but just expenses to this country, and that this government now has to pay back. This government now has to find money, like $30 million every month, every year. Every year for the prison, you know, and other big sums of money.
You're saying the prison is not a worthwhile expense?
I am saying it's not an investment. We don't get money out of the prison.
But what would you have preferred us to do when the prison burned down?
I have said the prison
to the people up in St. Lucie?
That the prison was allowed to burn flat, so to speak. That the prison could have, if the person in charge at the time had a different opinion, that the prison would not have been burned excessively as it has been burnt. And some of it could have been saved, it could have been rebuilt quickly.
Okay. You would have preferred it to be rebuilt than for us to build a new prison?
I'm saying we could have built a lesser expensive prison. I have said $200 million and with an interest, about 300% interest.
You do appreciate, though, sir, that you're negotiating with a gun to your head, proverbially, because you have no prison. The prison has been burnt to the ground. You have prisoners living in conditions which are less than satisfactory for reasons of national security. And you are basically given an option to build one quickly, and that's the option that you take. You're saying you would have preferred a more leisurely option that would have been cheaper. That's what you're saying.
I am saying that alternatives could have been put in place.
Right. Let me focus, because I think what you have done is you have taken us back 10 years, and you're saying these were the things that were done. I would like to focus instead on the 10-year period intervening and the fact that we were promised in those 10 years that several things would have been done to make us better off. You're arguing that the majority of Barbadians are better off now. I am suggesting to you that based on my research, the masses of Barbadians are considerably worse off, or alternatively perceive themselves to be worse off, because that is the way that they have answered me in polls, that they perceive themselves to be worse off. you're saying differently, and I accept that you're entitled to a different opinion. So I'm questioning to you, sir, what initiatives have been taken by the Stewart administration or the Thompson administration before that to change a lot of Barbadians, which, in your opinion, have been successful in alleviating that plight? You spoke about borrowings. You were saying that the BLP borrowed for unproductive reasons. I would remind you, sir, that the Credit Suisse loan was the single largest balance of payment support loan that a government of Barbados has ever taken that was not associated with any building project. So while, yes, we did borrow heavily to build the prison, we can say that we have a prison. We borrowed heavily to build the airport and the Hilton. We can see those things. The problem is that we are servicing this Credit Suisse loan, and there's really nothing physical that we can show as a result of that. So I want you to do two things for me, sir. Please respond first to the point and tell me what specific initiatives have the Stewart administration taken that have been so successful in alleviating the plight of the masses. And secondly, can you respond to the fact that even though you are suggesting that there were no loans taken under the Democratic Labour Party that were unproductive, the single largest loan that has been taken under the DLP was essentially just to get foreign exchange in the kitty. Two things for you to respond to in short order, sir.
I will not interrupt you. Yeah, Peter. You're able to distract and...
I'm not distracting you, sir. Just answer the questions and I will not interrupt you.
Let me try a little bit. I'm saying that the Credit Suisse loan, the government at the time felt that they had to, like you said, put aside somebody, try to get some foreign exchange in the system at that point, because they saw that there was a possibility that there could be some challenges to the foreign exchange at the time coming up, going forward. And Mr. Sinclair, his wisdom, I believe you read for it. Unfortunately, it had
infinite wisdom.
I've said it was Mr. Sinclair read for it.
Infinite wisdom, yeah.
And that, unfortunately, that the pressures on the government of borrowing at higher interest rate, we couldn't do a lot about it. We would prefer not to, but we found ourselves with an extra amount of downgrade, some downgrades from these international agencies, which I think were quite unfair, because they took the growth for the country. Normally, you would rate the country based on growth. They decided the country was starting to show growth, that they could not attach those downgrades to the country anymore, and attach it onto the fiscal deficit, as they call it, the deficit, which was about $1,100 million at the time, $1.something billion. Okay, that is what's been choking us for all this time in this country, $1.7 billion fiscal deficit, which the finance minister has been really doing all kind of flips and all kind of acts to try to bring that thing down, to try to see if we could get a better rating or maybe just get a little ease for this country so that we could start to move forward with some of the plans and hopes of the country. It hasn't been easy. I understand as of right now it has come down to about 400 something million, which is a tremendous achievement.
Sir, wait, stop. I said I wasn't going to interrupt you, but you're saying the fact that the reserves have been brought down to 400 million is a tremendous achievement?
Yes, it is. I mean, that was the fact.
So you're saying that we should be happy about the fact that the reserves are the lowest they've ever been in the last 22 years?
But it's a reality. It's not what we want, but it's the fact that this is very funny.
No, I admire your tenacity and willingness to support the DLP, but sir, you got to come to a point where you ask yourself if you're not talking nonsense.
Sir, if you are saying that you settled,
part of the Credit Suisse loan was to ensure that you had sufficient reserves, and you are now saying that to get the reserves down to $400 US is a tremendous achievement on the part of the Democratic Labour Party. So you are contradicting yourself and you're coming off sounding silly.
No.
Don't support your party, but sir, you're going to make sense too.
$1 billion down to $400 billion.
Sir, how can that be an achievement that you bring your foreign exchange reserves to the lowest level in 22 years and you achieve something? You are proud of that?
That is our Achilles heel. That is what has been... That is what has had us held us down. That $1.7 billion is what has held this country down over the last 7 or 8 years.
But sir, you just said that to bring it to $400 million is an achievement.
It is an achievement because I am saying to you, as it comes down, hopefully I don't know if they'll ever get it down to the zero rate, but as it comes down, I believe that money will be more available to the country from other sources. Hopefully created that the money
can be. You got me confused.
Yes, we cannot put money into paying down fiscal deficit, but try to change up the economy and do those things so that we can bring down that deficit. And at the same time, expect to live a life.
Sir, if Prime Minister Stewart does not call this election soon, he is going to succeed in bringing the foreign reserves down to zero. Now, I am convinced. I am convinced that if the election is not called soon, you will get your wish in that the foreign reserves will be brought down to zero. And if you're saying $400 million is a success, then zero will be a resounding success.
Listen to me, Walt, before you push me off here.
Now. I'm pushing you nowhere.
I am saying that I have every confidence in this government. Okay, I have every confidence. You can say all the negatives you want.
But then, so you have the right to have confidence in them. I can never agree with you.
I have every confidence in the team that's running this government, this country. Okay, they're not going to sell it out. They're not going to sell us out. They're not going to deliberately allow any negative stuff to occur that they could avoid.
Any more negative stuff?
They're going to tweak it. They're going to work as well as they can to avoid disaster for this country. They're going to do what they can.
But sir, you understand that we are on the brink right now, and you're saying that you're going to avoid. But what can more be disastrous than what happened in South Coast?
They're going to do it. They have been doing it in their way. And they will continue to do it in their way. They're a brilliant team, and they will continue to look after the interests of this country. Whether you have said it about all the negatives or not to the world.
Ain't about me. You convinced that it's about me, but ain't about me. And you know, the thing is that I like to encourage them to call on the program. I just get irritated. Because when I hear people saying that to bring your foreign exchange reserves to $400 million is an achievement, right? It's something that I wonder to myself if you guys are seriously thinking how you sound.
I said the fiscal deficit has come down to around $400 million or below $500 million. That's what I said. And that is what's been choking us for all these years because of the downgrades that we have been getting based on that fiscal deficit. Is that true or not? Have we been downgraded based on the fiscal deficit?
Sir, we have been downgraded for several reasons, and one of the reasons we have been downgraded is that we have no foreign exchange reserves. And people are wondering whether we are going to be able to pay our debts in terms of foreign exchange.
I'm not downgraded based on anything.
Sir, that has been one of the concerns. One of the concerns has been the fiscal deficit. Another concern has been the tremendous debt that we are carrying. Sir, you cannot accuse me of being a liar because I'm telling you the truth. There are several concerns that the rating agencies have. One of them is our debt. The other one is our deficit. Okay? And I think that there's also a question of the outlook. And that is a challenge that they have where they are not understanding what is the outlook. And that is something for which the Democratic Labour Party has to be held responsible. You know where I disagree with you, sir? You seem to feel that the Democratic Labour Party is the waste of time, right? And I'm not suggesting that, you know. I'm not suggesting that by any far stretch of the imagination.
I think that you are a party, opposition.
And the opposition, are, nothing.
What I'm sure what to call you.
Sir,
I am no party
anything. I am a simple analyst, and I am dealing with the situation that is presented to me.
You run out the negative. You can't ask nobody believes anymore because you talk to a negative against the government.
Nobody believes me anymore?
Yeah, anything you say anymore because you've gone too far left. You're not too far east as west. And nobody believes you when I say what Mr. Stewart anymore, the general Stewart.
Okay. That a problem.
Because
sir, that a problem.
All of you people that follow you and your party, that ours is your party, will follow that.
My party.
I mean, nonsense that you try to spout.
Well, as I said to Dennis earlier today, that I do feel that we need to have more conversations with persons like yourself, because I am anxious to hear defenses and positions put. I cannot speak out of both sides of my mouth. I'm seeing a situation before me which I'm attempting to analyze. And all I'm saying to you, sir, as a supporter of the Democratic Labour Party, I think it would be useful for you to focus more on the benefits. 10 years in office, you cannot blame anything on the opposition. You can do that after the first 5 years. But after the 10 years, invariably, and whether this is PNM, whether this is ULP, whether this is UPP, your 10 years has to be a reflection on your success in government. And that is what the Democratic Labour Party has to do. I am not going to let you get away with shifting the focus and saying this is about the BLP or what the BLP has done. No, we are looking at a 10-year period, two terms in office. we have to be reflecting on the success of the Democratic Labour Party on this time and the success of the leadership of Prime Minister Franois Stewart. Final word from you, sir. Okay, you're gone. Sorry. We take a break? No, we on to the next caller. On to the next caller. Good morning and welcome.
Blessings unto you, Peter. How are you doing?
Thank you, sir. And yourself?
I'm here holding on.
I'm glad you bring blessings. I need some blessing now to calm me.
Let me tell you. It's rough for me. I have
like people, but you said that you had 2 weeks off the air, so let me put some fire.
You know what? I'm looking for your two back-to-back Tuesdays. It's rough. It's rough on the air and rough off the air, because let me tell you something. You don't get a bit of pressure out here, do you, did you, though?
Yeah, I know.
You like best of Arabic culture, but you know what? I just give you kudos because you're back broad. Just, you can take any amount of it like people.
Just know that I...
Right, good. That sounds good. But I want to say something before we go on and let Mr. P know something. That what he's trying to do, he will not achieve. As a man who boasts, I don't know him personally, but every time that I come to the airways, he finds it fit to come after and to, you know, try to belittle me. You cannot belittle Mr. Arabic culture. Because I'm not sitting down, I'm waiting on your hands out. I am not waiting on anything you have to offer. When I step through my back door and I go out into the fields, I can make a meal regardless. I don't have to face the supermarket. If I get a bread this morning, I can get a breadfruit. I can get a hand of banana. I can get plantain. So please, give me a break. That is what I want Mr. P to do. And if he is a person who listens to Bob Marley, he needs to act more maturely. My last son is 6 years old, and he's has way more intellect and intelligence that he portrays. So just give Mr. Agriculture a break. Now, Peter, the gentleman that you spoke to earlier, you're there?
Yes, yes.
You're listening to me, and I want you to listen to me carefully. I want some of these Democratic Labour Party callers to be aware that Peter Wickham once sat on the side of the Democratic Labour Party. For them to be coming to want to tell you that you do not have any respect for no one in the Democratic Labour Party, I don't think that can be fair to you as an individual. And I think you will agree with me there. But what we have to understand is that these Democratic people are living in denial. And as you said before, you cannot come after 10 years of government running a country and want to blame the Barbados Labour Party now for everything that has gone wrong. One term has gone, two terms are on the brink of finishing, and we cannot allow people to blame the Barbados Labour Party. You talk about the amount of money you got to pay for the prison. You're looking at the foreign reserves. You just come and bring the estimates. So what is the hold up? What is the hold up? And as you rightfully said, you're going over now to the 90 days. And every single government that they have failed miserably. So rather than going down to the 90 days, you can say, you know what? Our time is up. Let us call the election. Let the people decide. If we get bring back to office, we get another 5 years. If we go out in the political
business,
we got to take it.
I agree with you.
So it cannot be fair to John Public now, after 10 years, that you are still putting so much pressure and burden on the people. And it is obvious that, you know what, we don't care. You're not telling us so directly, but we are supposed to be intelligent, educated people. You're just saying to John Public, we don't care. You have given us time to govern, and we will govern. You have given us extra time, we can take the extra time. And according to Sandiford, like it or lump it.
It's not fair. Mr. Agriculture, we're going to have to run. We got to do rapid fire today, and we got to take a few messages. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. I have a WhatsApp here from someone who's saying, Peter, that man just now was in denial, and I asked him to deny that just this morning a company held a town hall meeting with his staff, informing them that their foreign accounts were blocked because of the ability to get foreign exchange from the bank to pay bills. At the meeting, it was said the foreign exchange situation is so bad that if something is not done, it will get worse. Please ask him to deny that this has been happening in Barbados. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning. Good morning, welcome. Good morning and welcome, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, good morning and welcome, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Wickham, how are you?
Yeah, Straker's Tenantry, how are you doing today, sir?
Yeah, but the lady did say that we were waiting.
Waiting for what?
She said that they were waiting for you.
Oh, they're waiting for me, right? So you, yeah, I know yeah, you're yeah, always yeah. waiting for me.
Well, yeah. Right, well, yeah, I always wait on you. So I guess she would include me in there. I told Miss Ellis long ago that to let you do the program from wherever you are, and he said he was going to consider it. I don't know if I can give him a nudge now to let him do it in this season. If he can't do it all year round, he could do it in this season. But anyhow, I want to look at something with you before I go. I got to a little quick remarks there for you. Now, Patrick quote a lot of scriptures there with you, right?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know he knew so much scriptures.
Well, all when a fooling with himself, right? But people of a certain age know them because we went to Sunday school and we went to church. But there's also a scripture that said, do unto others as you will have them do unto you. I would like him to think on that one too. And I would like also to remind him that he became famous as the pig pen man.
Mm-hmm.
But then as he improved his status, he said he don't want to be known as that no more. And people is prepared to accept that. You know, the choice is if you don't want to be known as that no more, no problem. But be prepared to do unto others as you will have them do unto you. He can think on that. Now, the stats man just told you that when you was looking at an alternative leader, that Miss Motley got a track record. When you was looking at between Lynette and the others as an alternative. Would you consider the burning of a prison under her watch as part of her track record?
You're asking me that?
Are you asking you, yes, Mr. Wickham?
What I would say to you is, Mrs. Straker's tenantry, today I am not interested in engaging in a conversation about the track record of Mia Motley. I'm interested in the track record of Prime Minister Fernando Stewart. Can we have a conversation about his track record?
So why didn't you tell the staff man that? You know, when it is come and open up...
No, but I'm speaking to you. When I'm speaking to Dems, I'm speaking to Dems about DLP issues. So as a Dem, I'm trying to ask you, can you tell me something about the track record of Prime Minister Fernando Stewart? That is good.
Mr. Wickham, I raise a point with you.
Fourth longest serving Prime Minister in the history of Barbados. Fourth longest serving.
If you are not prepared to discuss Ms. Motley's track record, I'm not prepared to discuss Fernando Stewart with you. So we can close that off there. So we can let us stand there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But Mr. Wickham, long ago, I told you that I could understand that the people would be disgruntled with the party in power. But the people is further disgruntled with the DLP as the alternative party and with their leader as the alternative prime minister. That is why we have so much splinter groups out there. And lo and behold, we're getting close to the tail and it's getting worse and worse. And all of these coming up against them, there's no way that they can get first past the post. And I'm telling you that for the longest while.
That's the DLP strategy.
Well,
but I wrote about it in newspaper. I don't know if you read my articles, but I know that's the DLP strategy.
Well,
the challenge I have in relation to that is that there is no evidence statistically that what you're saying is true. But I understand that it is a view that Dems hold. It is a strategy that you believe will work. And it is important for you to come on the program and repeat as much as possible that people are concerned about the alternative.
Mr. Wickham.
I have told you, Mr. Straker, Senator, that in my polls, right, as far as alternative options are concerned, the records, the statistics, no, the data that shows support levels for Mia Motley are higher than they have ever been in relation to anyone who has not held the office of Prime Minister in Barbados. Indeed, they are higher... are almost as high as they have ever been for Mr. Owen Arthur, who is the person that held the office. Now, I'm talking statistics. I'm not talking individuals. Now, if it is that you want to say that my polls are out by 5% and you want to discount them, then we're still talking higher. If you want to say that my polls are useless, then the conversation, unfortunately, got to go through the window. But it's based on perception.
Mr. Wickham, you don't have to put words in my mouth. One thing you know you can do is speak for myself.
This is true.
What is the most current poll you have done?
The last poll that I am able to speak to will be one that I did in 2017, I believe.
Mr. Vickram,
October 2017. Not October. It's probably before that, 2017. Yeah.
When the last poll was published that you did?
Would have been then, probably July 2017. See, I think it was July 2017.
Yeah. But this is another year now. We want something more.
Well, I agree. I think that a poll should be done, but you know my problem is it don't just come so.
Since then, how many parties have come out of the woodwork?
When I did the last poll, we had, as far as I know, all of the parties that were there are present were there at that point in time. The only change that would have taken place was that there was a merger, because we had the CAP, and now the CAP has been collapsed into the UPP.
Right, Mr. Vickram.
But cumulatively, when I did my last poll, the political parties, the alternative parties, did not have more than a full percentage point in terms of their support.
Well, the first thing I'll tell you...
Which means that if you say that the margin of error I factor in, they will probably get to 5%. They could, at best, get to 5%. 5% will not gain them a seat, and it will not gain them a significant share of public support. And that would be the extent of the margin of error being stretched.
Right. So that tells you one thing clearly, that seeing the shifting dynamics, that we need a current and up-to-date poll.
But then, raise it with the nation and tell the nation that you would like them to commission another poll.
Not me, Mr. Vickram. That's not my... I ain't supposed to go out there and look for no work for you, Mr. Vickram. You're supposed to go out there and look for yourself. You're supposed to write an article that saying that there's so much change in dynamics and parties merging and things. We need to get a fresh poll done to gauge what is on the ground out there right now.
Suppose, sir, I was of the opinion that a fresh poll would be unwise.